Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Apparently, Jabril just found the chat. He says, rah, 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 I found the chat.
Oh, I've been looking for it. Yo, what's going on? You are listening to the first podcast. This is the very first podcast known to man. And I'm here with my guest, Lars and Joe. I'll be your host, Jabrils. Welcome to the first podcast.
Hey, thanks for
Hi,
thanks for having us on.
Thank you for having us on.
My name's Joe.
I really appreciate you taking the
Absolutely.
Time.
Why do they call it the first podcast, by the way? I was wondering about that.
This is the very first podcast known to man. Every other podcast before this podcast is not the first podcast. They're imposters. So this is the official first podcast known to man.
Well, you heard it here first.
Goddamn right.
You heard it here first podcast.
Yeah, Joe and I are actually podcasters ourselves. We run a podcast called The First Podcast.
Oh, no way.
And I am the main host, Lars.
And I'm the co-host, Joe. And together, we're Lars and Joe.
Larsen.
Oh, is that your one lame joke per video?
And I'm out. Okay. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. This was
all right, Jabril. Just out of curiosity, who the hell are you?
Who the hell am I?
What do you do?
Yeah.
So I am a guy who really enjoys computer code and programming. And what I do is I produce a YouTube channel called Jabrils, in which I just explore whatever is interesting to me, whatever problem I want to solve, and try and make a fun story out of it and inspire people to learn more about code and stuff like that.
And it's focused on a certain theme, usually revolving around robotics or AI, something like that, right? Programming and whatnot.
Jesus Christ, Joe, that's a lot of us and ums. Do you want to try that again?
And your YouTube channel focuses around a central theme, robotics, AI, and whatnot. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'd say so. My real focus is just really to focus on like cutting edge technology. So that's robotics, that's AI, that's AR, VR.
How did you get into that? Do you have, did you go to school for that?
What's your origin story?
My origin story? It's quite boring, I think. When I was younger, my mother would play a lot of video games, and I found it really fascinating at the fact that, like, you know, you had this controller, and then on screen you had these agents in different, like, you know, Super Mario. You can control them with a controller, and then I wanted to learn how to do that stuff. And so come freshman year in high school, I begged my mom to purchase this thing called Game Maker for me, and she bought it for me. It was advertised as something where you don't need code to like make games. And so I used like a little drag and drop to start making games. But then I hit a point where I was like, well, you know, using the drag and drop feature can only get you so far. So then I started to learn code. And then from there, like, you know, it's just a snowball effect. You learn one thing and then add on top of that and you learn the next thing. And next thing you know, you're doing AI and AR. And yeah.
What do you need to know before you can do AI? Obviously coding. Is there any specific languages that is written in, I assume?
So Python is the most popular language that a lot of data scientists use for machine learning. And the reason for that, yes, Python. And the reason for that is because Google released a library called TensorFlow that pretty much takes care of everything that you need for you. However, you don't need to use Python. You could use any language that you want under the sun to do machine learning. It's just that you have to start from scratch.
Interesting. So for the people listening who have no idea what machine learning is, could you give us like a brief rundown?
And feel free to be as like vague and like you don't have to like give us a comprehensive scientific definition here. Just, you know, something to put in people's noggins.
Yeah. Okay, so what machine learning is for the layman's? Let's see. I think the most layman's way to define what machine learning is that you give a machine a problem with some data along with that problem, and then it will use the data to figure out how to solve whatever problem that you give it.
Can you speak in code, like C out, forward caret?
Int. I don't think I can. You know, it's funny. I don't think I can speak it. I can read it pretty fluently, but I've never had any practice speaking if parentheses.
If statements.
Yeah. That's an interesting question. I might have to practice that.
Well, the question maybe isn't so much like whether you can. And maybe the question is whether you should. Like,
that's a fair
probably
point.
Not worth.
It's a computer language. It's not. English. English is for that. English is for
exactly.
Language. Verbal language.
Right. And not to mention that languages that we use to write code, those aren't even what the machines use to read. You know, they read binary. So it's kind of like a language on top of a language, if you will.
Interesting. So you're using English.
Yeah, my brain hurts.
To speak about a language that is a language to. You give to computers, and they're reading it as binary, outputting it as something else, right? There's like another layer. They're outputting their discovery.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I guess. Maybe.
Yeah, you lost me.
Anyway.
Yeah, I can see why my mom doesn't understand technology when we talk about it like this. Yeah. Joe.
Yeah.
Do you think we should toss a hypothetical out?
Sure. Do you have one in mind?
Yeah, I do.
Bud.
Hypothetically. Okay. All right. So, Jabril, one of the things we like to do. Oh, also, that just reminded me. My brain's kind of scattered. You mentioned that the reason why you have your media set up as Jabril's with an S is like a joke. Like you enjoy something about that. Can you explain what you mean?
Yeah, it's really simple, actually. So there's this YouTube channel called Danny from SL or something like that. Daniel from SL, there we go. Daniel from Second Life. And he pretty much just goes around like Second Life doing screen captures and just messes with people. And there's this one episode that he had where his name is Daniel, but I guess his username was Daniels, and he was messing with people and they would call him Daniels over and over and over. And that was the funniest thing to me. And so when I created my YouTube channel, I was like, I don't know, I can't just have my name because that's kind of like too egotistical for me. And so I just added the S on there.
Why would you want people to call you by your name?
Yeah, exactly. When you can have fun. It's so funny because like I go to places, but hey, Jabril's, I love your stuff. And it makes me laugh. It makes me laugh so hard.
That's funny. And they think that that's your
kind of like a way to tell if like, you know, people actually understand your content because they would know it's just Jabril actually like watched.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly.
Do you play The Sims?
I used to play The Sims religiously.
I was going to say, that seems like the kind of game that would be right up your alley.
All three of us have played The Sims. Maybe we could talk about it.
Oh, wow. That's a very uncommon game, Joe. That's a brilliant observation. Thank you.
You ever play The Sims and you think to yourself, I could make a game like this?
Yes, every day. However, the amount of time that it will require to put into such a game, would I don't know if I'm at that point in my life yet.
Oh.
Not quite at the point where you could like recreate The Sims entirely on your own.
Just a one-man job.
Yeah.
You're saying it wouldn't take you a team to... No, but if you could make a game like it, but you had to change something about it, or like, you know, not exactly The Sims, but like, is there a game that you've always wanted to make or something that would be kind of like a strategy simulation game like that, like a sandbox kind of game?
Funny enough that you say that, my dream game kind of is like The Sims, only for the fact that when I used to play The Sims, and I'm sure you guys can relate to this, they had that free will mode that was always so fucking limiting, and it pissed me off. Mm-hmm. I would pretty much make The Sims with a better free will mode so you can just watch the simulation. I don't know what it is, but I will sit and watch a simulation forever.
Oh, I get what you're saying. Like the free will mode isn't that good. They don't do that much.
Right. There were certain things that they wouldn't do. Like I think they wouldn't cook or then wouldn't go to work. And it's like, why? What? It was like the important stuff.
This could be on an earlier patch, but I don't think they pay their bills on free will mode.
No.
Yeah, that one makes sense. It was when I played, it was really, really limiting. It pissed me off.
You know what that reminds me of? Did you watch Malcolm in the Middle? How they played their version of The Sims on Malcolm in the Middle, and they would leave and come back, and it's like one, like they've taken over the world, and like Malcolm Sim got really fat and killed himself.
I have not. But that's a really funny premise.
The scale of The Sims is really kind of fascinating, because I remember Joe was talking about earlier how, like, earlier in the day, his Sim got engaged, and then, like, an hour later, he reported back on the Discord, oh, yeah, my Sim is married and has two kids now, so it's a little bit faster paced. So,
wait, from free will mode?
No. No, I was playing it, but...
Oh, no, he forced the relationship very quickly.
I cheated in the game to make it so that their needs never go down, and... They have.
Oh, what's the point? Well,
there's one obvious point, which is that you don't have to go spend time doing stuff like going to the bathroom, cooking.
That says so much about you, Joe, that you would put that cheat on.
It's amazing. Wow. And then as soon as the kids became toddlers and I was able to do the cheat, I did it on them too. And it just.
So you just don't want any challenge at all.
You don't have to sleep. You don't have to do anything. You just focus on. Doing what you want.
What are your playing goals? Like, what are you focusing on?
All right. So the two parents, one of them is like wanting to start a family and raise the kids and everything. The other one wants to do the culinary career. And then for the two kids, I don't like they're going to go to school and everything, but I'm just going to allow them to maximize all their skills. And they don't have to waste time sleeping or, you know, anything like that. They just get to focus on what they want. So I'm just going to try to max out all their skills. And like,
that sounds like a chore.
No, it's fun. And then I also gave them 10 million.
I'm not on board with that.
The household has $10 million.
I think Jabril has the right idea here. I mean, there's not much of the game left at that point.
It's an experiment to see if it's fun. Like, so far it's fun.
Oh, quick question, by the way. Could machine learning... Here's a science question for the podcast. Could machine learning be used to help make a better free will mode on The Sims?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. That's like one of the biggest inspirations for me learning machine learning.
Its main cause of any machine learning.
Well, there you go.
I don't know. I'm just kidding. Like, probably.
Yeah, and speaking of talking about stuff we don't know anything about, Joe, I think we should talk about our sponsor real quick.
Mint Mobile, who we don't really know anything about, but what we do know is that they offer the same excellent service as T-Mobile because they buy their service in bulk and pass the savings on to you, is an excellent alternative that allows you to save money compared to other shitty services like Verizon that rips you off, T-Mobile that rips you off, and Sprint that rips you off.
Can't hate on T-Mobile too much because they're the ones that Mint Mobile buys a service from in bulk.
Well, they rip you off, but they do have excellent service.
Yeah, and if you want the same excellent service
without getting ripped off,
$15 a month.
Without getting ripped off.
Yeah, exactly. I use Mint Mobile myself. That's why I'm talking about this. My plan, I think, is $25 a month. And yeah, you pay for it 3 months at a time. And that's it.
Mint.T1Podcast.com. Moving on.
Guys, I got it.
Yeah, and to be honest, I
bravo.
I've really enjoyed it ever since I switched.
Bravo.
I don't miss T-Mobile at all.
Why would you?
Mint.T1Podcast.com can help you check out the different plans that they have. It helps support the show if you go ahead and sign up. It's an incredibly cheap service for what you get. I really enjoy them. Mint.T1Podcast.com. Anyway, there's a question from the chat, and
actually, I kind of have one question real quick, just to kind of delve a little bit.
We know you do, Joe, but shut up. Let me go ahead and let the audience participate.
Actually, no, I'm sorry. That's fine.
The question is, and this is kind of vague, is there anything that like machine learning couldn't help with, or is it just one of those things that's like the cusp, the brand new technology that's going to kick ass?
Yeah, I'm not sure if machine learning would be able to help you switch to Mint Mobile.
Ah.
I'm just kid. Yeah, so yeah, there's actually a lot of limiting things about machine learning. It isn't the like end all be all algorithm that most people make it out to be. There's actually a lot of really difficult challenges that you have to overcome while writing machine learning algorithms. one of the easiest things to point to is like the human language. So there's a lot of research being done on how we can use machine learning algorithms to like make sense of the English language or, you know, the Chinese language, like what have you. But it's actually a really mm-hmm. difficult challenge to come up with different machine learning algorithms that can, you know, do this with a high accuracy. Just for example, for what we call natural language processing, which is pretty much anything about language.
So when it comes to machine learning, if you were to tackle a problem like how to enhance free will mode, what would be mm-hmm. sort of like the steps working backwards from that? Like,
ooh,
what would you do to tackle that problem? That's a really vague question, I know.
No, I think it's enough. So I got to say, one thing that I don't have much practice in is talking about machine learning, like for the layman's and layman's. Because oftentimes I write scripts and then I'm able to like break it apart. But I'll do my best to try and talk about this in like a very layman's way. But to apply machine learning to something like a free will mode, the first thing that you would need to do is you would need to figure out the domain for what's possible for what's possible for your sim's actions, right? So they can go to work, for example. They can eat food, for example. They can watch TV. You'd have to figure out what is entirely impossible for your sim.
They can make woohoo. Let's not forget woohoo.
They can make woohoo. and so you would figure out your entire domain. And then once you do that, now you need data. You need actual data of, you know, successful models. So This is the most difficult part when it comes to machine learning, is actually collecting your data. And so there are many, 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 many different ways you can go about doing this. You can just have a bunch of players play the game and collect data on the way that they play. You can try and just get AIs to achieve a task. But this will require AI that's hard coded, not machine learning algorithms. But anyway, so once you get this data, then you can actually train an algorithm to learn from this data, right? So if you had, am I talking too much?
No, I'm following it.
Okay, right. So now that you have this data, you can now train a machine learning algorithm on this data. And once it's trained on this data, that's mostly from examples of players that have successfully, you know, raised this sim to be an adult, have children X, Y, and Z, then the machine learning algorithm will pick up the patterns that all these different players used to then you can implement in the game. So it knows that this is the state that I'm in. You know, I have this job here. My house is in this setup. I have this amount of money. Therefore, I'm going to do this action. This action makes the most sense to me.
So what program are you using to collect the data? Like, is it like watching the game and that's how it's collected, or like you typing it into a separate program based on like what you're observing yourself as you're playing?
In that scenario, it would make the most sense for Maxis or whoever is the developer, I don't remember, to write some sort of like behind the scenes program that would just collect data as the players play and then send that data to a server.
It's observing the data, and so it's like, every time, let's say that it's trying to collect information about like sims that reach adulthood with the skills maxed out, it would basically watch all the different scenarios, and then out of the ones that reach adulthood with the skills maxed out, it goes back and says what had to, and goes like what had to happen to make that the case.
Could you repeat that one more time? You kind of lost me.
Yeah. So could it be like, if there's machine learning that's trying to figure out the best way to reach adulthood with skills that are maxed out, it would keep track of all the skills that are maxed out in adulthood and go back for those ones and basically ask itself like what had to happen to make it this way?
I see what you're asking. Yeah, so here comes the problem of machine learning is again, there's so many different ways that you can go about doing this. This will really be in the discretion of however the Maxis developers decide. Maxis, that's not a company anymore, right? It's EA now, isn't it?
Yeah, I think EA makes it, I believe.
Right.
We could be totally wrong and eat shit for this later, but yeah.
Let me, maybe I should, does Maxis exist anymore?
Almost positive.
I'm actually an expert in this. Maxis, and this is based on my memory now. Maxis is an American video game developer. It was founded in 1987, and this is...
Okay, Joe.
Moving on. I don't know. The answer is I don't know.
So where I was going with that is... So it's completely in the discretion of the EA developers. So if they wanted to do that you just explained, that route, they could do that, right? Look at all the data collected and segment it. So here's an example of, you know, if you want to play free will mode with, you know, an adult that becomes a lawyer, for example, or an adult that does this, adult does that. Or they could also do another route where it's just like, let's collect all this data and train on the algorithm with everything combined. Right. And then from there, let the free will mode figure it out. There's so many different ways you can go about doing it, but that's kind of like a vague overview.
Okay. And we're being told by Tej, one of our members on the Discord. By the way, check out discord.t1podcast.com to follow along in the chat.
Why would they want to follow along in the chat, Joe?
It's a stupid question. Just gets better. They can listen to the live recordings. And they can hang out with the guests as we're recording and ask them questions in the chat and everything. And sometimes we do after shows. So, but he's just saying that EA does own Maxis.
Nice.
It actually...
I don't know if that's true, by the way. He could be trying to mislead us.
I'm on their Wikipedia. I mean, I know this from memory that the parent company is Electronic Arts since 97.
All right.
Interesting.
Joe, you have great memory, Joe.
Thank you. And this isn't from the Wikipedia. This is just...
Okay, bud.
All right. Did you know Will Wright was the co-founder of Maxis?
Yes.
Yes, I do, Joe. Everyone knows that.
Will Wright was one of my favorite people growing up. I think I heard of him for the first time when I played Roller Coaster Tycoon, which was one of my favorite games.
All that changed after Spore.
I liked Spore, but... I was disappointed in it a little bit. I think everybody was.
That was the original No Man's Sky.
I didn't play No Man's Sky. I heard very, very bad things about it.
I didn't play No Man's Sky, but
I played it when it first came out.
I was looking forward to Spore for probably 5 years before it came out or something, or whenever they announced it.
Yes.
And it was supposed to be this game where if you didn't play it right, then your creature wouldn't be able to walk. And
thanks for that, Joe.
And then they made it so that kids could play it. You know, like everyone's on easy mode, basically.
That EA influence, man.
I know. It was supposed to be this actual life simulator, and then it just turned into like a silly simulation game.
I had a fun couple afternoons with it. I don't know. It wasn't... wasn't that bad.
Oh, you're right, Tej. It was Chris Sawyer, not... Tej says, I thought Chris Sawyer made Roller Coaster Tycoon.
Oh, I thought we were talking about Spore. I'm confused.
We did move on to Spore, but originally I said I found out about Will Wright through Roller Coaster Tycoon. That was Chris Sawyer.
Oh, Will Wright was... wow, okay. So he had his hands in a lot of pies. Apparently, Jabril just found the chat. He says, rah, 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 I found the chat.
Oh, I've been looking for it.
Yeah. Okay.
That's right. It was Chris Sawyer. That's why if you named one of the Sims in Roller Coaster Tycoon Chris Sawyer, they take pictures. But anyway.
Is that true?
Yeah, I think so. But let's go. What were we talking about a second ago before I derailed us?
Machine learning.
That's right.
Yes.
Okay, so let's say in 50 years, we have all the knowledge that people such as, YouTube hobbyists like yourself and major computer companies and such, and basically just, you know, the sum total of the...
I have to stop you.
Okay.
What does YouTube hobbyist mean?
Someone who does all this stuff because they seem to enjoy it, and they put it up on YouTube and get 200,000 subscribers from it, such as yourself.
Good to know. Good to know.
Okay.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, I'm just saying, like, you know, the sum total of like everyone that's involved in the future of AI and machine learning, and let's say that they have 50 years to machine learn. What are some things that are being predicted as kind of around the corner for us? What are some things we have to look forward to with this technology?
Yeah. One thing that is for sure out the window I'm trying to think of any good examples, but one thing that's for sure out is classification. Machine learning algorithms are really good at that. If there are any classification jobs, I would run ASAP.
What do you mean by classification jobs?
So, yeah, so I honestly can't think of any classification jobs, but a classification as far as machine learning is concerned is the number one thing they're the best at doing. Yeah, I would have to think of some examples of what a classifying job might even look like. But
all right.
Anywho, another one is pretty much any automation. As we start to embed these algorithms into robotics more and more, that's one thing that will be taken over pretty quickly. If you look at even, you know, the Tesla factories, I think it's, I forget the split, but it's something crazy, like 60% or more are robotics that are on the assembly line, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just going to increase, you know, as the years go on. Another thing is like the fast food industry, they're starting to use those automated cashiers, which creeps me the hell out, but it's becoming more and more prevalent. Have you guys seen one of those before?
Yeah, I've used them before.
With the touchscreen?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There was a study done that said 100% of those have poop on them.
I believe it.
I think there's 100% of everything has poop on it, though, in some form, Joe.
I have poop on me.
Poop is pretty ubiquitous. Kind of gross, well, but I mean, it's kind of true.
So do we need to be touching more stuff that has poop on it?
Like everything you touch has poop molecules on it, I'm assuming, to some degree.
Maybe everything you touch, Lars, not everything I touch.
No, I'm just saying, like, you know, shit gets around literally and metaphorically. It's like everything's dirty all the time, so I wouldn't worry too much about that one, Joe. It's people aren't actually taking like feces and actively smearing it on there. There's just like the
well,
natural
maybe,
like
maybe you are, Lars.
No, why would I want to do that and make someone's day shittier?
I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah,
the chat is protesting me doing this. I'm not, don't worry.
Even on things like household, like house fans, are you saying that shit hits the fan?
What?
That even the fans have.
Oh, Joe's getting his lame joke out of the way. Okay, I see.
Yeah. Yep. Moving on.
Okay.
Could machine learning help come up with like better recipes for food, like the perfect pizza? Or is that not machine enough to learn?
Yeah, so that's actually a really interesting question, because you first have to ask, what is the perfect pizza?
Well, the perfect pizza has pineapples on
it. God damn it.
Pineapples.
Guys, it was fun doing this podcast. Thanks for having me. But on that note.
No, go.
No, but seriously, you know, that the question is like, what is the perfect pizza? And if you really want to talk about like the benefits of machine learning, the real benefit to it is it's able to give us a lot of personalization. So you'll be able to, in the future, train your own machine learning algorithm that can help make the perfect pizza for you, you know?
Ooh.
Ooh,
I like machine learning now. I'm excited for that.
I really like machine learning. Yeah. Could machine learning make the perfect sex doll for someone? Like, let's say 50 years. Yeah, let's say 50 years from now, everyone has.
What are you talking about?
Well, along the same lines of thought, the perfect for you. Like 50 years from now, everyone's got a life-size 3D printer that can make.
Joe, just go date a woman. Seriously.
All right, moving on.
Yeah, please. All right.
What about the perfect luggage that you could travel with?
Oh God.
I can't even contextually think of what.
There's reasons why he's asking it. You don't want to get into them.
Let's move on.
Yeah. Okay. Let's ask a good question. And this one doesn't really have anything to do with machine learning unless you want it to, I guess. But the question is, what would be your useless superpower?
Oh. Useless. Okay. So I'm going to go like completely useless here. I'm not talking like partially useless or like quasi useless. I'm talking fully useless.
All right.
Let's see.
We can give you some examples if you want to, like ones that we've come up with before, unless you just want to go into it like clean slate.
Is it possible to have a useless superpower? I mean, I feel like you can make use of anything.
Oh, yeah. Like the ability to instantly die.
Or like the ability to break all the bones in your body.
immediately.
Okay, I see where you're going. Or
the ability to not be able to breathe. Yeah. Like the ability to always lose money. The ability to always be hungry.
If you can't think of one like that, you can just give us like a quasi, like, oh, this doesn't really help me in any meaningful way kind of power.
Something that comes to mind, like just whatever.
The chat is typing some out if you need some examples.
Some examples in the chat. The ability to feel sick.
By being inside? Or duck hands?
The ability to change the color of my keyboard.
The ability to change the color of your keyboard? That's pretty useless. Like, what good does that do?
You know? Yeah, it looks cool for about 30 seconds, but then, like...
Before the novelty wears off.
Then you're just like, oh, well, the most practical one is, like, one that's easy to see, and then that's
the ability to change your insides into concrete.
But I might serve some purpose to the Avengers, though, you know, if I can change the colors of keyboards. Could distract some enemies. Like, hey, look over there. It's red.
Yeah, I mean, like, in a combat situation, I guess, where, like, people have broken into your house.
Geese in the chat is asking, could machine learning create the most useless superpower?
Ooh. Yes, it can. Yes, it can. Okay. Let's compile a list and ask it to do that for us.
Oh, really?
Yes, really.
That's not a bad idea, to come up with the dumbest superpower that you could have.
How would it rank it? How would it know if it's useless or not, unless you tell it?
Like, yeah, we have to feed it some data.
Like, what kind of data would we feed it?
Well, how do we want to apply it?
Just give it a couple kilobytes, and then it should be good to go.
The data has to be useless. Like, all right. So, there's not data, sorry. The superpower has to be... So, it has to be a superpower. So, it has to be something you can't already do, and it has to be... useless, so it can't help you, so it has to figure out, or we have to tell it if the superpower is in fact useful or not.
This seems like it'd be really complicated to set up with all the variables. Like, it could be done, just it seems like it wouldn't, like, the amount of time you'd have to put into just like graphing it all out doesn't seem feasible.
Is machine learning the same as AI?
No.
Yes, it's a tool within AI.
Oh, okay, that's what you meant, Joe. Okay, I got it.
Yeah, Lars, you're wrong.
No, it's just like,
it was a good question,
different
Lars.
Different parts of the same, never mind. That's fine. Joe, question. you can take the W on this one, that's fine.
Thank you.
Congrats, Joe.
He almost Thank never you, gets Lars. The chance.
Take the L, Fortnite dance.
Take the L, okay.
So what could you use AI for?
What? That's so vague, Joe. What the hell?
I wasn't done.
What could you use AI for?
No, like, could you use AI to come up with useless superpowers?
Yeah, you could. So in the very simplest way in which, like, we can generate some useless superpowers, we can create a list of a bunch of useless superpowers, and then we can feed a machine learning algorithm to generate new useless superpowers based on the data that we gave it. So, for example, if we had one that's like, change the color of my keyboard, and then another one's like, create more dirty laundry, then it would say something like, create more color changing laundry, for example. Like, it'll just generate
change the color of the laundry.
Right. Stuff like that. But it would be all based on the data set. So the more examples that we give it, the more creative it's able to be.
And it would know what laundry is, or it knows that it's a noun, or it knows what you tell it, basically. Like,
yeah, it has ways. So there's a whole study of research called natural language processing, NLP, in which it's just a bunch of researchers looking into different ways on how we can teach a machine to learn our language. And we're at the point now where I think Google released their technique called BERT. That's really, OpenAI, the AI company that was founded by Elon Musk, they released a little algorithm called GPT-2 that they're saying, you know, in the headlines that it's like game changing, it's very dangerous, we can't release it to the public. But that just shows like how far we've came with NLP problems. So the answer is yes, we can give it like the language sentence like, you know, something, something laundry, and you can figure out that laundry is like the noun that needs the context for the sentence. And yeah,
I see. And are you the first at something, the first one to do something or anything? Yeah. Like that?
Yeah. I created the first podcast.
Oh wow. That's right. Okay. There we go. I actually had a serious question, by the way. And it's kind of based on, I know that sometimes this is like a joke and that people make this up, but once in a while, it seems to have something where it's like, oh, I forced the computer to watch like a certain amount of episodes of something, and this is what it came out of it. But I'm curious, like, is there any serious application of that in terms of creating new creative media?
Yes. Yes, Lars. So interestingly enough, that's kind of like my, that's kind of like my thesis. Like, that's where I want to drive all this eventually. However, the point in which we're at with the research for these things, we're really far away from being able to do stuff like that, at least coherently. At least coherently. Like, you can feed a movie to an algorithm and it can generate something, but it won't be coherent. You know, it probably won't make sense from frame to frame for the most part, and it will be kind of useless to you. But again, every day we are doing, well, I don't want to say we, I'm not really doing much, but research is being done to get closer and closer on how to, you know, generate movies based on a data set of a bunch of movies.
Could it be simpler to just do something with text, like a book?
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually done quite often. In fact, I'm going to give you a website in which you can play around with it once I remember it.
Okay.
Something like,
what? We could do, we could use it?
I'm excited.
You can use it right now.
You know all those ones where it's like, I fed a machine a bunch of Donald Trump scripts or a bunch of Harry Potter chapters, and this is what it came up with. Mm-hmm. Do you think that any of those are faked, or is it like it's simple enough to do where the, like it's probably real?
Yes, it's definitely real. It, to be able to get an algorithm, at least I'll just say a machine learning algorithm, to be able to like create real enough tweets to do that, it would require a lot and lot of data. So if one person was sitting there trying to recreate Donald Trump tweets, for example, they would waste a lot of time and it probably would never converge because it wouldn't sound like him. So yes, they use an API, a Twitter API, which it pretty much allows them to, well, actually, I don't think they use an API for Donald Trump tweets. I'm not sure how they gathered the data, but somehow they got all the tweets from Donald Trump and then fed it to a machine learning algorithm. That in particular is in a machine learning algorithm called LSTM, stand for long short-term memory. And then it pretty much learned the patterns of Donald Trump tweets, essentially like
interesting.
The first character is a capital T. What comes next? H. Okay. And the probability of next one is E. Probability next one is space. And then, you know, whatever, flee or whatever he says, whatever it is. I don't know.
That reminds me kind of this thing called Lyrebird, which you probably have heard of though, where like they've compiled, like, for example, Trump and Obama's voices. Like they've had a machine, like listen to thousands and thousands of clips of them. And it comes back with like a surprisingly detailed replica of what they sound like.
Yeah, that's when we start to get into the scary stuff, man.
Yeah, the ethically questionable side of this.
Yes, the ethically questionable. But the thing is that, like, there's nothing you can really do about it. Like, all these advances with AI, it's inevitable. You know, if you tell whatever researchers are doing that now to stop, okay, they'll stop, but someone else is going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it'll event? And I would doubt if we're there yet. Do you think that in like 50 years or whatever, you would be able to take an AI and say, I like this game and this game and this game and this game, and these are all my favorite games, and maybe like these are all my favorite movies. Can you make me a new game to play?
Yes.
And it'll put it all together?
Yes, absolutely. We're nowhere near close to that.
How far off do you think we are? Like 20 years or something? Like singularity? Like,
that's a good question. I don't really know, because we have quantum computers right around the corner. And who is it? IBM or someone? They're looking to get like an actual like deployable quantum computer in the next 3 to 5 years. And if that happens, the amount of data that you can use on a quantum computer for machine learning training is going to be like exponentially greater.
Like a gigabit per second?
I don't know how much
just
greater
kidding.
It is.
I know. What kinds of things could you do with a quantum computer?
So that is not my area of expertise, but I do know that the amount of data it can process is far greater than what our current computers can process.
How would you rank a quantum computer and a supercomputer by today's standard? Like, is it like a million?
He said it's not his expertise, Joe. Just
yeah, but he seemed knowledgeable in the amount of data, so that's why I asked if there was a comparison.
Still, it's very rude to ask, Joe.
I'm very offended, Joe. No, I kid.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, Joe.
I just heard the stat. Yeah, I think the other day. I don't remember what it is, but it's a lot greater. More than two.
Okay. Oh, more than two. Okay.
Yeah. More than two all. Kilobytes.
Greater? No. More than two times. I apologize.
Okay. More than by two the way, you greater. Said you had a link for us to play around with. I didn't see that in
I'm
the chat.
I'm looking for it. I'm looking for it.
Is it botnik.org?
No, that's something else, Joe.
I'm still looking for it. I lost the link. It's like something transformer. I'll find it before the end of the podcast. I promise you that.
We're not moving along until you find us this link. All right. You're gonna forget.
You guys.
I'm just kidding.
Do it now.
No, I'm just joking.
OpenAI.
By the way, the picture of Joe Rogan shows that he has pretty poor mic etiquette, in that he doesn't even have like a pop filter. Like, it's weird that he doesn't, and then we do, Joe.
Well, we're better than he is.
We're so better
if you're
than
listening,
Joe Rogan.
Rogan. You suck.
I don't have a pop filter. Judge me.
Ooh, naughty,
yeah,
naughty.
But I mean, that's okay. You're not in broadcast, right? Like, you don't really... You're a programmer, right?
I don't know. I record my voice for the videos.
Oh. You're a YouTube hobbyist.
Shame me. Maybe I want to be shamed. One. Shame me. I want to be shamed.
You can get a really good pop filter for like $10. I don't.
There we go. Keep it coming. Keep it coming.
Well, just get some pantyhose and a wire hanger, and you can put the pantyhose over the wire hanger.
Yeah. If you know somebody who has pantyhose already, just ask if you can have their pantyhose.
Yeah. just say you need it for a thing, and
hey,
should
I need
be good
these.
To go.
Just yeah, don't elaborate. I need these or something.
That's a bit sketch.
That's cool. So this website that you linked us to, talktotransformer.com, and you basically feed it text?
You feed it some sort of prompt, and then it will continue to generate based on whatever prompt you fed it.
Okay, so I went ahead and typed in "I like eggs," and it says "I like eggs and eat breakfast while riding." We're also discussed in the weird news section, according to the archive thread. One reader said, "I've lived for many years now. I'm 80 years old and still eat the usual junk food, and it's my healthiest choice now."
I typed in "My name is Joe," and it gave me "My name is Joe." Says Hirsch, "We had to go to the vet because our dog was diagnosed with cancer." We're like, I don't want to be that guy. I don't like dealing with things anymore. So we went to a vet we knew, but he was so busy doing other things, it was just too much for his time.
What's weird is that this is complete nonsense, but it kind of makes sense in a way. Like,
yeah, so it's still not completely there. You said, it's a bit nonsense, but if you were to feed it more of a prompt, it will pick up the patterns from your prompt and like...
Oh, so if I type like several paragraphs, okay.
Yeah, so if you feed it more of a prompt, like more words and more sentences, it will pick up on the patterns from the prompt and then generate something a bit more coherent to that.
Okay. I typed in "the first podcast is..." And it gave me "the first podcast is a series on the history of America's founding fathers, highlighting each of the founders and the unique ways in which they shaped both society and its ideals."
This is fun to just play with. I think we should get back to the episode, though, Joe.
But if I type in "the first podcast hosted by Lars and Joe is a great podcast because," it says, "because I've had a lot to talk about while listening. I was amazed how knowledgeable they are on the subject," or whatever you want to call it. And it has no bullshit. They got it all down. That's really fun. Like,
see, there you go.
It sounds way more coherent.
There you go.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so talktotransformer.com, guys, if you want to check that out.
Talktotransformer.com.
The crazy thing is that model that you just used is a model that OpenAI trained. and they are saying that they have a model that is 1 point something gigabytes, because the model that is on the website is 345 megabytes. But they're saying they have a 1.1 gigabyte model that's like even crazier than that. And they refuse to release it because they think it can like really change the landscape of lots of things.
Interesting.
So like people would use it for badness?
That's badness. Their current fear. They fear that people are going to use it to like, you know, try and sway the elections coming up and all that stuff.
Huh.
Well, I think they're already swaying the elections, so it's like we're kind of already doomed.
Have you heard about people creating deep fakes videos of like, you could, you know, and you wouldn't be able to distinguish if it's like the real Obama or the fake Obama video?
Oh, yeah, man. There's some pretty crazy stuff already out there. Pretty crazy.
Is that scary?
Oh, should we get into deep fakes on this episode, or is that too much?
Too much. Bring it on, man. Well, come on.
We could touch on it.
Joe, do you know what those are?
Well, considering I just brought it up. Are you paying attention, Lars?
I am, but also someone else posted in the chat that they typed, I pee-peed my pantsu. And it came up with a very funny response.
I know, right? I know. You posted ha 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 right after they posted that, and it was while we were talking about deepfakes. You're going to have fun listening to this.
Oh, edit. Great. Yay.
I'm like, hey, you know those deepfakes? Is that dangerous? And he's like, oh, yeah, that is. And then you're like, should we talk about deepfakes? And I was like, well, considering, yeah, we could touch on it, because I already just started.
Joe, I'm trying to machine learn, Joe. Just relax it.
Anyway, I'm just saying you're going to... You know what, Lars, you should do? You should bring Robot Lars into this episode.
Okay, thank you, Joe. Let's
virtual
move on.
Lars. We have a virtual Lars. All right, what should we talk about? I mean, we could talk about deepfakes.
You guys are the host. I'm just a passenger.
They're questionably ethical.
I would think that they could... Like, what if you had Obama...
On Trump's body. You could write some really, really hot fan fiction and... yeah.
You know, like, what if you had conservatives trying to rile up their base to start a civil war? They could have Obama be like, I'm the new king of America. Mm-hmm. And they're like, can you believe this? We have to start a war.
Well, let's not get too political, but that is kind of a concern. Like, you know, the ability to fake video footage now and do relatively convincing voice work by chopping it up and using an AI voice, that's... something I'm not looking forward to, because I feel like you can't really, like, how do you trust video footage at this point, like, 100%?
Those days are over, man. Those days are over.
Yeah. Because, like, you used to be able to Photoshop a picture decently well, and that was one thing, but now that it's, because people don't understand that you can just make that now. Like, you throw a bunch of video of an actress at a machine, and it can produce pornography with their face on it. It's really... deeply kind of concerning.
Yeah, I wouldn't even say kind of. It's very, very concerning. I mean,
very dystopian.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be able to make a movie with your favorite actor? Like, let's say I'm a fledgling producer / director, and I have access to the software that borrows like Johnny Depp's, you know, acting, but I don't want to hire Johnny Depp. I just use the software.
Funny enough, that's already a thing. That's part of the reason why I think Jet Li retired, because he was like a master of all these moves, and they're telling him to do all these moves in the motion capture suit. And he was like, no, I'm not doing that. So he kind of quit the industry.
Because they would use it to...
Correct. They would like animate him in films and use his moves. That was his fear, at least. I don't know how true it was. But like that aspect of our modern day is already here. As far as machine learning is concerned, I lost my train of thought.
You were talking about using Johnny Depp in a movie because you don't want to hire him and you have access to the software. You were talking about Jet Li.
Yeah, someone as powerful as that, I'm sure though they would get sued out the ass if they were to try something like that. But yeah, it's possible.
What if there was the Supreme Court says like, oh no, it's valid because it's not him. Like,
I don't think they would. I think you have reasonable control over your own personhood when it comes to that kind of stuff. I doubt that would pass the courts.
Yeah, I highly doubt it too. I highly doubt it.
Right.
One of my biggest fears, though, is like, you know, a few years ago when I first started this machine learning stuff, like all the things that are happening now didn't seem like it was on the horizon at all.
I know, right?
But if you look at the landscape now, you have people... the researchers that are able to take someone's face and put it on someone else's face very convincingly. And then it doesn't stop there. There are algorithms that now you can feed it what's called a puppet and use the mouth to make, you know, someone else's face that's self-imposed on something else talk.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then you have the stuff like the Lyrebird that now you can generate voices. I don't know if you guys, you see the Joe Rogan recreated voices where he had like the intonations and like, it's insane, man. And so now, honestly, I mean, it sounds really bad, but I'm just waiting for the first use case of someone taking all these different technologies and doing something bad with it. I mean, it's only a matter of time. If you just look at human nature, like, it's bound to happen at some point.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing, Joe.
Okay.
Some of that could be gotten via illegitimate means. And
like somebody hacking your shit?
Yeah, I think in these modern times...
Well, there's got to be a way to protect yourself.
Computer security is a question, but there is something that can help you get around that, to some degree at least.
Bro, you ever use a VPN?
Yes, I do. I don't have a good grasp of what it is, but I use one.
Well, we have a decent grasp on it, and we're going to go ahead and talk about NordVPN.
Our favorite is NordVPN.
Nice.
And we're saying that because they are our sponsor.
They're a sponsor, but yeah. They are the greatest out there at a very reasonable price of only a few dollars a month. $3 a month.
$3 a month for a condom for your internet. The metaphor is gross, I know, but it's kind of true. I mean,
it's fitting.
It is a fitting condom for your internet, like indeed. 2019 has a bunch of problems coming at you. It's your, you know, it's the corporations collecting your data. It's your ISP basically throttling you after you've used a couple gigabytes of your internet.
So, talk to Transformer. When I typed in NordVPN is a great program because when we sign you up, we'll never store your data. We don't track your online activities, your IP, or your internet latency. For each subscriber, we'll do our best to improve your experience. When signing up for NordVPN, we'll send you special offers you won't find anywhere else. If you're not happy with your NordVPN experience, you can cancel your subscription and cancel your credit card at any time so your data will never be erased in the future.
Really?
Yes, I swear to fucking accurate. God.
Talk the Transformer knows what's up.
It's true. All that is fucking true.
Let's just have the Transformer do our ads from now on, because that's just perfect.
What the fuck?
Yeah, NordVPN
I can't believe it. That's like...
Oh, you were lying! Oh!
I wasn't even lying.
I thought you were just reading the ad read.
No, well, that wasn't even an ad read. That was literally what... That was literally what it came up with. Isn't that incredible?
Insane. That's amazing. I'm impressed by that. And I'm also impressed by NordVPN. For $3 a month, you can protect against Watch Dogs 2 hackers that are trying to hack into your shit. Your ISP trying to make sure that you can only use a couple gigabytes a month. You know, the government tracking your shit, the corporations tracking your shit, people just trying to do stuff to you that they really shouldn't be able to. Good way to get around that for $3 a month. Nord.t1podcast.com. Jabril, what's the name of this podcast?
Oh my God.
The First Podcast.
That's the checkout code at the checkout code. The First Podcast for 75% off your first subscription. Nord.t1podcast.com.
I typed in a little bit more. I typed in NordVPN is a great program because it offers the customer, and it came up with because it offers the customer a VPN with multiple networks for all different purposes. They are offering several different packages that cover a range of use cases from home use to work or school or any other type of activities where a VPN is needed. All of their packages are secured and encrypted. You get VPN client free for 6 weeks or paid for another 6 months, secure internet access, VPN encryption and dedicated server, easy setup. You can just select a network from the list. If you're getting a free option, you are also receiving a free demo version of the NordVPN.
This is going on a little long just for one little
ad.
But
the point is, isn't that weird? Like, I don't know if any of that's true, but...
That's what I'm saying.
Now
imagine how long it would take you to write that, right? And now you have an algorithm where you can just press one button and it can create an ad read for you.
Oh, dude, we should do an algorithm to just generate all everything we say during the podcast, Joe.
All right. How do I start it out?
Well, let's start it out later. Let's plan that for the next episode. Let's not take up precious time with Jabril.
Well, it won't take up much time. You just press the button, right?
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and mute Joe here since he seems to keep sidetracking us.
No!
There we go. Anyway, Jabril.
Yes.
This is your podcast, so I'm just curious, before we kind of wrap things up, if there are any things you're just like, oh, God, I really wanted to talk about that, but I didn't get to.
Yeah. I think most of my time recently has been really focused on this new technique that I've been working on. I might be publishing a paper about it. It's dealing with sequencing. It's just like the only thing on my mind at the moment, so that's why I'm bringing it up. But yeah, so long story short is I have this problem that I'm trying to solve because I'm working on a video with another content creator. And I looked at a bunch of different research papers. They didn't have any solutions to solve the problem that I'm trying to solve. And so I started to write a paper. But no, realistically, okay, I know what I want to talk about.
Okay.
I know what I talk about. So I created this video in 2017 called Writing My First Machine Learning Game. And that was one of the best things that I could have ever done because it grew my channel, brought a lot of new people in, X, Y, and Z. But now it is time for me to do my second machine learning game. And I'm very excited for it. So I'm going to give you the pitch and you tell me what you think about it. All right.
Okay.
So imagine that you download this game, right? And in this game, you get a creature, all right? And it's your job to train this creature to become good at fighting. And when I mean fighting, I mean more of a realistic physics-based type of fighting, right? Where you want to knock off another creature off of a podium.
Okay.
And the idea is that every single person is going to get their own creature and they're going to train it the best they can do. And then at the end of a month or whatever, we're going to have a tournament. And whoever trains the best creature, and this is all backed by machine learning, will get some sort of prize. Thoughts? Questions, thoughts, anything?
Is this not just how amiibos work for Super Smash Brothers Brawl and above?
See, you know, I've always wondered that, but I couldn't find if they use machine learning at all.
Okay. Well, I think they analyzed the matches and stuff. And by the way, I think it was actually Smash 4, not just Brawl. I think it actually came in on the Wii U. So I apologize to all the Smash fans out there who I was wrong. Sorry. Sorry, guys. I'm sorry.
I think we've lost Joe completely. I don't think he's ever coming back.
Oh, Joe is typing, poo in a toilet is a special case. He's really distracted.
I didn't even realize I was muted.
Okay, so, but you're saying, like, what if Amiibo, but, like, a little bit more advanced?
What if, like, Amiibo, but the possibilities for your Amiibo is a lot greater?
Okay. Right?
So in Smash Bros, what I mean by that, in Smash Bros, right, you can press the A button, you can press the jump button, you can press the block button, and a couple more of the buttons. But in this example, in this game, demo, whatever, it's all physics driven. So they're going to have limbs and joints. So
okay.
If they want to duck, they just have to, you know, lower all their limbs. And if they want to jump, they have to, you know, press up from the ground and they can put their head down and move it in any axis. Yeah.
Is everyone going to be the same character?
No. No. You can add your own custom skin, but what's really going to set them apart is the way in which they interact with, like, whoever they're fighting against. So, for example, right? So, let's say that you wanted to create one that, I don't know, just turns around and, like, backs off the opponent using their ass or something like that. Well, in your training process, you would really encourage that behavior from your AI, right? Yeah. And then someone else wants to train one that just, you know, gets as far away as possible and just runs charging at their opponent, right? So then you'll put these two up and see how the match plays out with these two different strategies. And at the fact that everyone is going to train their own AI creature, no battle ever is going to be the same. It's literally impossible for two battles to ever be the same.
I think this is a fascinating concept, and I'm really looking forward to watching it, just unironically.
And participating, right?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
How can people do that, Jabril?
Yeah, you can do that by heading over to my YouTube channel called youtube.com/Jabrils and subscribing, and I'll put up a video soon. I'm getting started on that very soon.
Sounds good. And for the lowest IQ of our listeners, of which there are very few, but just in case, how do you spell Jabrils?
J-A-B-R-I-L-S.
All right. And that's how you can check out Jabrils on YouTube, our guest slash host for this episode, the first podcast. Joe, if people wanted to find our show, they already did. They're already listening to it. But if they have been listening in for a couple episodes and they like what they've been listening to.
Let me cut you off there, Lars. I think what you're getting at, is... If you're listening to this episode and you want to support your content creators of choice, such as Lars and I... Toby, shut up!
You're really floundering, Joe. Let me take it back over. Patreon.com/T1Podcast. If you'll notice right now in the Discord, there is a patron-only role for the best of the best members of our Discord. There's also on-air shout-outs that happen every time we get a new patron, and there's also... Did you get your dog under control, Joe?
Yeah. Toby's under control, everybody. Don't worry. Okay. Basically, just go to patreon.com/T1podcast if you do want to support your local content creators. Mm-hmm. This truly is a labor of love, and every dollar helps. And because my dad opened the door, now the garage door is fucking going off.
Just go and say it, Joe. It's fine. There's chaos.
patreon.com/T1podcast. Give us your money.
Yeah. And that's kind of the end of it. No, but if you like the show, we'd love your support. Patreon.com/T1podcast. $2 is the lowest tier, and it goes up
money.
To, you have
we
money.
We want it.
Give it to us. Anyway, thank you, Jabril, for coming and hanging out with us.
Dar she blows.
Yeah. That's a way to say that.
By the way, you mentioned a thesis. Are you getting your master's or PhD?
No. I don't remember what I... when I mentioned that.
Okay.
All right. Well, I answered that.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.